Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFO Movies India Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call hosted by Ventura Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Tanuj from Ventura Securities Limited. Thank you, and over to you, Tanuj.
Thank you. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of Ventura Securities, I welcome you all to UFO Movies India Limited Q4 and FY 2024 earnings conference call. The company is represented by Mr. Rajesh Mishra, Executive Director and Group CEO, along with Mr. Ashish Maloshtey, Chief Financial Officer of the company. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Mishra for opening remarks, post which we can start the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Anuj. Greetings, everyone, and thank you all for joining our Q4 and FY 2024 earnings call. The fourth quarter of FY 2024 started on a decent note with movies like Hanuman featuring Teja Sajja, Captain Miller featuring Dhanush, and Fighter featuring Hrithik Roshan in January. Following these movies such as Teri Baaton Mein Aisa Uljha Jiya featuring Shahid Kapoor, Article 370 featuring Yami Gautam, Shaitaan featuring Ajay Devgn and R. Madhavan, and Crew featuring Kareena Kapoor and Tabu were released in February and March, contributing to a steady quarter along with some sleeper hits also like Madgaon Express, Manjumal Boys, etc. However, there were some movies like Merry Christmas, Main Aata Loon Crack, and Yodha which failed to make a mark at the box office. So overall, the fourth quarter had a mixed bag of content, and we closed the year with a blend of successes and underperformances. The year FY 2024 showcased a diverse range of films releasing across languages and genres, from big-budget spectacle films to regional gems and some sleeper hits, demonstrating the industry's resilience in meeting changing consumer demands. Despite significant content volatility, the overall business saw improvement, marking the first profitable financial year since FY 2020. Strategic cost optimization, along with steady theatrical revenue and a 62% year-over-year growth in advertising revenue as compared to the previous financial year, has helped strengthen the financial position of the company. Corporate advertisements grew by 40% as compared to the last financial year. Government advertisement revenue also marked a growth of 85% on a year-on-year basis due to traction from state governments and PSUs. Caravan's advertisement revenue sustained the momentum and marked the highest advertising revenue since FY 2019. Along with the growth in advertisement revenue, screen network also expanded significantly, surpassing 3,800 screens for the first time in over 5 years. The advertisement screen network was at 3,859 screens as compared to 3,348 screens in FY 2023 and 3,792 screens in FY 2020, with a notable boost in both prime screens by 419 and popular screens by 92 screens as compared to FY 2023. Now moving to the headline numbers for the quarter and full year ended March 31st, 2024. Consolidated revenue stood at 1,192 million rupees compared to 884 million rupees in Q4 FY 2023. EBITDA, after considering one-time provision in Q4 FY 2024, was 152 million rupees compared to 115 million rupees in Q4 FY 2023. The loss at PAT level was 12 million in FY 2023 compared to a profit of 60 million in Q4 FY 2024. For the full year FY 2024, the consolidated revenue stood at 4,101 million rupees compared to rupees 3,978 million in FY 2023. EBITDA improved to 676 million compared to 339 million in FY 2023. The EBITDA margin improved by 796 basis points from 8.5% in FY 2023 to 16.5% in FY 2024. PAT stood at 164 million rupees compared to a PAT loss of 132 million in FY23. Regarding the consolidated funds position, the balance at the end of the quarter stood at rupees 1098 million. As of March 31, 2024, the company continues to be net cash positive after considering outstanding debt. Looking ahead with the upcoming movie lineup, including releases like Mr. and Mrs. Mahi, Chandu Champion, Kalki, 2008-98 AD, Despicable Me, Safira, Veda, Sabarmati Report, Pushpa 2, Stree 2, Bhulbhulaiya 3, Sitara Zameen Par, and many others, we are seeing a good slate and we are optimistic to see a continued positive momentum. I would like to take this opportunity to thank all our stakeholders for their continued trust in the company. With that, I open the floor to take your questions. My colleague, Mr. Ashish Malhotra, CFO, and I will be happy to take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and 1 again. Our first question comes from the line of Ankit Kanobia from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So my first question is related to the industry as a whole. So if we look at the results of, say, PVR, INOX, and the commentary there, and as we believe this is an industry where the quality of movies which get released, that decides the performance of our business to a great extent. And general consensus is that Q4 didn't have too many good movies being released, and even the Hollywood contribution was much lesser in Q4. So given that kind of a backdrop, I think we have done a commendable job. What worked really for us to have this kind of revenue growth in Q4 year on year? If you can give some more color on that would be very helpful. That is my first question.
Yes, so should we first take this question?
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah. So good question, and happy you have brought this up for discussion. The only two points I'll give here. One is that you're absolutely right that the we are integral part of this industry and we provide one of the critical sets of services for the industry, and therefore our fortune should and must be linked with the fortune of the industry, and so is the case. Particularly in Q4, what has happened is we have two sets of revenue streams, one which comes from the services that we render to the industry, and second is from the advertisement revenue. This is broadly the model that we have. As regards the service revenue, you must have noticed that being in the nature of service revenue, it is in a way nothing to do with the success or failure of the films. In other words, more the number of films, better is our revenue there. The other side to look at it is when there is an exceptionally good quarter on the box office, you won't see this revenue stream going up because we are acting as a service provider. So here, especially in content delivery services, if you see our numbers for Q4, we have actually generated 4 crores of higher revenue versus last year's quarter, Q4. And that's because we had close to 500 movies which got released across the country, including various genres and languages, and which is a phenomenal number. On an annualized basis, it is close to 2,000, and pre-COVID, this used to be around 1,800. So, sheer number of movies getting released help us to generate this service revenue, which sits into the my revenue line item, content delivery charges. And that has almost 90% plus PBT margin or EBITDA margin for us. So, one of the reasons why we, in a way, could do better performance, though the industry's box office didn't do well, is because more number of movies were there, the industry came back in a way, because in the previous year we didn't have all the theaters who were operating fully. This year probably that number has gone up, and that has helped us to better our service revenue. When you come to the advertisement revenue, over there also we have done little better than our peers and seniors. But over here, the ad revenue, if you compare with Q3, even we had a little disappointment, because we were hoping that if the content is better, we will be able to do much better on ad revenue front as well. But unfortunately, the ad revenue in our case, which was close to 38 crores in Q3, has gone down to close to 31 crores. So yes, you're right, on a year-on-year basis, this is still a 24% growth over 25 crores. But QOQ basis, advertisement revenue, if you see, there is a little disappointment, though we have done better than others. And probably that sums up the reason why we have done better. And with this information about ad revenue, all I would say is we could have done much better had the content performed and the industry done well on back surface.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was very, very, very helpful. Just a clarification on that, if I got it correct. If more numbers of movies are getting produced, irrespective of whether it is a hit or a flop, our content delivery charges will see a boost, right?
Yes, that is correct.
And if there are more number of blockbuster movies, we will probably see a jump in ad revenues. Is that understanding correct?
Absolutely correct. Only one small caveat: when you have a blockbuster which runs for multiple weeks, the billing, the CDC revenue rate card is such that in subsequent week we generate lesser revenue. Therefore, when you have a blockbuster, we have a phenomenally better ad revenue. But the content service revenue slightly takes a dip in the subsequent weeks.
Got it.
On a net basis, a blockbuster is always helpful when you see both put together in our case.
Got it. So my next question is related to our cash flow generation. So last quarter, our cash flow generation has also gone up phenomenally. So I think 20 crores of that is attributable to the tax adjustment. But even if we take that aside, the cash flow generation has been much better compared to previous quarters. So would you again, what would you attribute that to? What has led to that high cash flow generation year on year different?
So again, 2 points here. One, let me further clarify the point that you talked about tax adjustment, because you're right that now that you have made this statement, good that you made it, because I can clarify on the call. It's not a tax adjustment. In fact, if you see my balance sheet last year, I had close to 48 crores of the taxes that were deducted and that were due for refund. That happened during the COVID period because the TDS has continued to happen and we had accumulated losses, and therefore this was remaining stuck in a way with the IT department, and the amount was huge, 48 crores. Of this 48 crores, in last quarter we have realized 30 crores.
Okay.
So it's hard cash that is received. It's not a tax adjustment. So that, I mean, that's just one clarification that I wanted to give.
I meant that only. What I basically meant was that it has nothing to do with the operational cash flow generation.
To that extent, you're absolutely right. So one is this, that has helped us in getting the cash in. And the second thing that has happened is our working capital is such that more money gets stuck in the advertisement revenue because there the cycle is about 5 months. But the other revenues, predominantly our service fees, is where we don't... in fact, sometimes it's a negative working capital because most of that money we receive before the release of the movie. Now, what happens is over period of last 5-6 quarters, when our business is stabilizing post-COVID, we have now reached a stage where we don't really, on an incremental basis, not higher amount of working capital is getting stuck. So, yes, certainly there is an efficiency on a business front. And last year, there was one more element that we controlled was the CAPEX. Because broadly, my business is we make money, the money gets, I mean, it's true for all the businesses, we make money, that money gets stuck in working capital. This in our case is now stabilized. Therefore, mm-hmm. the generation for business is higher. But the utilization mm-hmm. of this predominantly in our case is for capex. And the capex mm-hmm. last year was deliberately kept down because we wanted to see how whole of the industry is performing. And I'm happy to say that the industry, when I say the exhibition industry, not just the premium multiplex screens such as PVR Inox, even the smaller segments and the smaller centers are seeing more number of screens coming up. And going forward, we'll have to put more capex, but last year we controlled the capex and that resulted in a better cash generation.
Got it, sir. So, another question is related to Caravan. So Caravan we started long back, but I think during COVID, everything was shut and then we have again started it. And Q4 saw a big jump in Caravan. How do you see that going forward? Do you think it will, in the coming years, it will become a, it will contribute a in a meaningful way to our total revenues?
Yeah, so as we had briefed on our earlier calls, mm-hmm. we were awaiting the empanelment of Caravan with the CBC, that is Central Bureau of Communications, and mm-hmm. this empanelment came through in the last year, and this has helped us to garner business under this from the governments, and there has been advertising from central and governments, and we are looking at more positive continued growth in this area from the government and the corporate advertising front also on this thing. So Caravan business we are positive about.
Got it. And sir, generally when we cater to the single screen theaters of the country, and a general perception in everyone's mind, I may be completely wrong, but it's just a perception which we talk about, is that more and more new multiplexes like TVRs and all will get opened, and we are seeing a dropping of single screen theaters. Under that industry backdrop, how do we see a long-term trend in our business model? Don't we see that as a long-term risk when we cater to them?
Typically, the industry 20-25 years back was predominantly all single screens only, and then came the multiplexes. What we have seen over the years is the cinema number of screens has remained more or less at a steady state. That means whatever screens are closing down, equivalent number of screens are also opening up. The good part that happens over here is, say, if certain screens close down, some will not open up, they will shut down permanently. But lot of the single screens also get converted into multiplexes. So one single screen closing down could translate into two or three screens in a multiplex opening up. So generally, if we see the number of multiplex screens in our network keeps rising on this account, and single screens which are situated at good locations, especially south market is pretty much largely dominated by single screens. North, we are seeing a lot of conversion into multiplexes also over there. So we will generally see single screens migrating into good quality, either single screens or some of them translating, converting into multiplexes. Either way, it will improve the product mix at our end from the perspective of quality of cinemas, from the perspective of advertising potential and all.
So on this point, let me give some data points for you. And I'm mm-hmm. again very thankful to you that you have brought this point up for discussion, that the general perception is UFO caters to single screen. The corollary of that is single screens are going down, which means this company probably is in a sunset business. And while we at the management level don't really understand how the equity market behaves, and we are focused on our business, one of the views that we have is probably this view which the market has formed is not helping us in getting right kind of positioning. So let me clarify. In FY20 Q4, out of 3,800 screens, the single screen screens were 2,200, and about 1565 screens, 1565 screens, even that time were multiplex screens. Okay, so we started in 2005, that time 100% screens were single screen. By 2020, before we hit COVID, of the network, almost 38% screens had moved to multiplexes. However, we were still considered as a single screen company. Now let's see what the situation is post-COVID. Post-COVID, if I see in the Q4 FY24, I mean on 31st March, my screen strength has come back or little gone beyond pre-COVID, which is 3859 screens. And of these 3859, 1750 screens or 1742 screens are single screens. So single screens shrunk by almost 500. And my multiplex screens have gone up to 2117 by almost about 550. So now my proportion of single screens is in excess of 55%. So the fact, sheer number itself, that over 2000 screens under the belt of UFO's digital cinema advertising network actually makes it the largest in terms of number of multiplexes network even in the country. Now, somehow, though these data points are given out in my presentation, I'm not sure whether you know, we have been able to really convey it with this kind of stress and emphasis. And I would really want you to take note of this, and therefore it is not really fair to assume that UFO is a single screen network. UFO is a network providing service to the entire exhibition sector. As the exhibition sector is moving towards multiplexes, so is my network. So this was one point, data point which I wanted to give you, and I'll be happy to discuss with you offline in case you have any discussions to be done around it.
That was really, really helpful, sir. And I think the one change we can make in the presentation is that when we mention 3859 high impact ad screen, we can probably give a breakup of that. How many are single screen and how many are, that will make it more clear for all the investors, because in our presentation we have never mentioned that. And very heartening to know that 50% of the mix is close to 50% is now multiplex screens. And sir, if you can give me more detail,
can I interrupt here? Yes. On my presentation slide 11.
Okay.
When I'm giving you prime screen and popular screen category, of the prime screens 2,492, 90% screens and almost 85% screens are multiplexes. So you're right to the extent I am not explicitly saying that what is multiplex. So you're right, people may not understand what do we mean by prime screens. So it's a very, very valid input, and thank you very much. Not this quarter, maybe from next quarter onwards we'll start giving it out, because it's already published. We may in fact look at republishing it, and we'll clarify that out of prime screens how many are multiplexes.
Yeah, that would be very helpful, sir. Sir, moving on, sir, if I... Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, am I audible, sir?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, sir, as you said that probably if my understanding is correct, that as more and more multiplex screen comes into our kitty, it is helping our business. Can you give more color into it? How does it help our business when we have more multiplex screen vis-a-vis single screen?
Honestly, we didn't mean that multiplex screens alone help us. Single screen also help us, but nowadays single screens are not really made. Very, very few screens are made. Any addition to my network of any screens, whether single screen or multiplex, helps us a lot, because every new screen, I don't have... So-called, if you see my manpower and SG&A, it's quite a huge cost, and there's no incremental cost that I have to incur to service that theater. And therefore, any new addition is good. Multiplex helps us because my ad sales team then is in a position to better sell the whole network, which is a combination of high number of multiplexes and low single screens to an advertiser.
Got it. So one last question, if I may. So in the previous calls, we have always been maintained that the government portion of advertisement revenue has not been picking up. But if I see FY24 compared to FY23, there has been actually a decent growth in the government plus PSU advertisement revenue. So how do you see that going up in the future? Because if I look at pre-COVID period, this used to be a pretty high number, and right now it is at a very low level compared to the total advertisement revenue. If you can give some color on this, that would be very helpful.
Yeah, so your observation is right. There is an improvement that you can see in the government segment. However, I would like to tell you that when we used to say that there is no continued spend from government segment, we meant central government. The central government used to be a huge advertiser on entire digital cinema network. And in this year, when you're seeing on a full year basis, my total ad revenue has moved from 17 crores to almost 41 crores in this segment. The predominantly out of this 24 crores increase, 16 crores increase has come from government and PSU. The state governments and PSU. And almost 8 crores increase has come from caravan. So central government has contributed in this 24 crores increase only to 2 crores of contribution. So the good part of this analysis is that, yes, our sales teams were able to then tap into this various state governments and try to get back the sales in this segment. And the positive side is central government is still on a lower or near zero level of spends. So if there is a change in the strategy which the central government ministries have about allocation of their ad spends and increase in their ad spends, then entire industry, digital cinema industry, can be the beneficiary. And if that happens, we stand to be one of the biggest beneficiaries because our network is one of the highest. So if that happens, then you will see a far more increase in the revenue. The positive side is whatever increase you have seen is in a way new segment that our teams have developed, which is state government.
Got it, sir. Thank you so much. That's it from my side, and I'll come back in the queue if I have more questions. And all the best for the future.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, you are requested to restrict with 2 questions in the initial round, and you may join the queue for more questions. Our next question comes from the line of Nitin Dharmawat from Aurum Capital. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Regarding this government revenue, let me rephrase the question. We are saying that the revenue in the last quarter from the government sector has gone up, and we can see that by almost 31%. Is this growth sustainable? And how do you see this growth in the current quarter, ongoing quarter, which is an election year? So do you see that any change that is happening from the government side spending for the cinema?
So let me again try to rephrase the answer, and you're right that it's a better way to pose the question that you have asked. Firstly, what we clarified is that we were able to tap into the new sets of advertiser in this segment, which was state governments. Now, that has increased the spend too, and this year our total spend that we have got from this state governments and PSUs is 28 crores out of the total 32 crores of government spends, excluding caravan. Now, question is whether this segment is likely to grow. Answer is yes, because here still we are talking about maybe 4 or 5 states who have really started looking at this network, and I'm not saying they have gone full on spending on this network. So in terms of pure opportunity, you have many other states, and these states themselves can allocate more. This is one. Second and most importantly, central government is still not restarted their campaigns on digital cinema networks, while we are seeing campaigns happening, slowly happening on other networks. And honestly, we are hopeful because the efficacy of this medium was very well appreciated by various ministries. So we are still hopeful, like the whole of the industry, that the allocation would again start for this. Now, whether it will start, when it will start, with what intensity it will start is something which we'll have to wait and see. So therefore, immediate quarter, I mean, it's too short a notice because currently the government, it's more of an election period, so the government doesn't spend, cannot spend in this period. So we'll have to wait and see post-June how, and it's not going to be immediately after post-June, it's because it takes about 3-4 months for allocation to happen to the ministries. But when I'm looking at this particular segment, not for 1 year, but over a period of time, we are still hopeful and we think that there should be allocation back to this segment. And if that happens, I mean, the best of the year, we have done 100 crores of revenue only from central government. And now this year it is 3.6 crores. So this should tell you, and the network is same, the same kind of a network, number of screens. So that's an opportunity for us. Let's see whether that comes our way and how soon and with what intensity it comes back.
Okay.
Second, on the quarter which you asked about, the current quarter, as I said, that the governments are cannot spend because of code of conduct. And during this period, some of the political parties like this network as a medium to reach out to their voters. And this is not just this time, but we have seen in every general and state elections that this is when the governments are forced to stop the spending. All the political parties start looking at this medium, and we take it as a pride, because if the political parties believe that this is a network to reach out to people, one of them, when they come in power, they should have the same philosophy continuing into the government action.
Okay. And regarding, you know, distribution of movies, so how many movies now we are distributing? How many are dubbed movies?
So two parts. One is distributor revenue, content delivery charge that we refer to, which is almost 90 crores top line, I mean revenue line item for me. There I charge a fee to distributors. I am not a distributor there. I charge a fee to distributor. And any movie, any language, any distributor, he needs to come to our network if he wants to distribute his movie in a theater which is on my network. And we charge a small fee of anywhere between 200 to 450 rupee per show. And this is the revenue that I generate. And this last quarter was, the number was 550 movies. And when I say 550 movies, that included multiple versions of the same movie, which can be, mostly belonging to different languages. So if you want a specific answer that out of this 550, how many were unique movies, I think my IR team will connect with you and provide you this. Because right now I don't have it. It's 550 number for the quarter, which was 512 in Q4 FY23. And on a full year basis, this year we have done 2,117 films, which used to be 1,762 in FY20. So this is the count. Now, this is my distribution revenue. I am acting as a service provider. I have a very small business line that we started 2 years back. There we act as a distributor. We act as a distributor, but we don't take any P&L risk. We take smaller movies into smaller centers. That's the niche that we had identified there. And if your question is how many movies we have distributed, then that number is very small this year.
Got it. Thank you so much. Wishing you best.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, you're requested to restrict with two questions in the initial round, and you may join the queue for more questions. Our next question comes from the line of Aditya Sen from Robo Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So as we know, we kind of have an idea how much movies are going to be released in this coming year. So on that basis, can you please give us some guidance on the revenue for FY25 that we are aspiring for?
So hi Aditya, you must have noticed that we never give any projection and the estimates of the years to come. Philosophically, we have decided to refrain from doing so. Whether we can estimate or not, answer is obviously yes. And that's where the business strategies evolve. But we refrain from sharing this number, and we don't even share it with anyone. We can give all the directional views which should help any analyst or any investors to construct in his mind what can the revenue streams will be. All I will say is that my business is simple. I have these two key revenue lines, and my costs are split into the fixed cost are known, manpower cost and SG&A. Those are very clear. The growth path is also very clear there. Other than that, all the direct costs are linked with one of these two revenue streams, and the revenue streams on advertisement front give me incremental 65 to 70% incremental revenue fetches me. Incremental ad revenue fetches me anywhere between 65 to 70% of operating margin, and on the CDC front, it's nearly 90% margin that I fetch incremental revenue. So this is how my business is. I'm sorry, but we don't really give any revenue estimates for the quarters or the years.
Okay, no issues. That will help. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Our next question comes from the line of Sunil Katesia, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for so much for the opportunity. Sir, we are into the digital world as of now, and the technology evolves every day basis. So in advertising industry, most of the internet advertising has been driven on programmatic nowadays and all. So are we looking into announcement or any, in technology, or we can charge premium on advertising using such kind of technology? Are we thinking on it, or just in person?
Yeah, so this is a definitely a good question from your side. You are absolutely right that the advertising technologies are evolving, and also evolving are the measurement techniques, the post-campaign evaluation techniques. So we have been working on a programmatic solution which we can provide to advertisers, which will allow them to advertise in a better manner. It will give them more value for money, and will allow them to also advertise on a sustained and regular basis, as opposed to just coming onto the platform for advertising on tentpole big blockbuster films. The idea is to engage with them on a long-term basis so that they can have extended contracts rather than film-based advertising campaigns. So we are definitely working on that, and that will be a tool in the hands of our marketing team to go out in the market going forward.
Just to give one flavor to you, when you mentioned about programmatic ad, and that is being used in the digital era to target the advertisements to the right set of people, so that the efficacy of the spends is better, and therefore you are seeing that by leaps and bounds the proportion of the digital ads has improved, and the advertiser sitting at one place can select a particular region, a particular genre, a particular set of age group, and then target his ads to only those users, right? That is what
is the meaning of programmatic. Yes. So that we can charge premium for that.
Correct. Now, I'm happy to tell you that the genesis of UFO, in a way, programmatic is a new word now for us, at least last maybe 3-4 years, it has picked up. But genesis of UFO ad network is, in a way, was to do targeted advertisements. So when I say that, today when an advertiser is coming to say Mumbai region and he wants to pick up a particular region in Mumbai, then he knows that he is going to be targeting his ads for that region. In that, he knows what kind of segment is going to be coming to view a content. So he can do a combination of type of the theater and the type of content being released to guesstimate the kind of audience which is likely to happen. For example, if there is a Chota Bheem kind of a film coming and some advertiser wants to target the parents and the youngsters, then yes, they can do it on a cartoon digital channel, but the same thing they can also do it on the UFO network in all the screens where say Chota Bheem is getting released. Now, this is something which is not new that I'm bringing on table. This always was there, dissecting, bisecting my network and targeting the ads. And we were not charging any premium for this bisecting and dissecting. Of course, there used to be a benefit if it's a network sale, huge network is getting sold. But for a smaller segment of network being picked, we were not charging a premium. But all I'm trying to say is that in a very meaningful way, not just us, but all the digital advertisement, digital theaters where the advertisements are played can become programmatic advertisement sources. Only thing, the advertiser has to do a combination of the theater and the content being picked up, and this almost same comfort that sitting at an office he can feed in. Even in our case, we have provided the advertisers with a tool that they can sit, I mean, of course, through an agent, they can sit at their place and feed in their advertisements, select which theaters they want to play it, send their content, which we just internally censor it, and it plays out. So, to a major extent, what is available for advertisers on digital medium through programmatic advertisements is available on our network, just that we were not vocally explaining this. Now I have explained it over a call, and much before me, the sales team have already started communicating this in the market with some of the tools that we have developed in this direction.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for the explanation. Thank you so much. That's all from my side.
Thank you, sir.
Our next question comes from the line of Vipul Kumar from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. I have joined the call late, so please pardon me if there is a repetitive question. So my question relates to our ad revenue. So if I see the slide number 21, we were in FY15, we were at 1,167 million, and in FY24, we have 1,116 million. So government finances are very good. Government is spending money on a lot of areas. So, means, are we losing government due to, means we are not offering a good value proposition? Are they advertising somewhere else? Have we lost the market share? So, your comment will be welcome, sir.
So, what the government did pre-COVID was you will all remember in 2019 towards end, there were austerity measures and they had stopped spending almost on all networks. And therefore, you will see even in 2020, while I had 150 crores of ad revenue, only 34% of that came from central government, which used to be almost 57% in better years, 57-58%. So yes, within my total revenue, government shrunk. The question that you have is whether they allocated this revenue to some other network. At least in FY19-20, there were austerity measures across. As we all exited the COVID period, there were small spends that they started, but even now, their spends have gone down significantly. If you look at up to December last year, you wouldn't have seen government ministries heavily advertising. In fact, as high as 60-80% reduction, they have officially, in fact, in some of the questions that were asked in parliament, the government has formally replied saying that this is 1.5 years back, not recent, that they have shrunk their spends. But in one of the questions sometime back, I had said that we hope that this is not what is the final strategy. They would look at communicating their, you know, the good schemes and important schemes to Indians, and ours becomes a very relevant network. So, two parts. One is that there is a shrinkage in their spend. So, not that they have shrunk only on digital cinema and on UFO. So, nothing that our value proposition has weakened. And two, we are not seeing a heavy allocation starting from them at least till December, Jan.
So, just one more point to add over here, sir, is that the shrinkage in the advertisement volume is from the central government side, whereas the state governments have continued to advertise, and we have seen a growth over there, and we are continuing to remain positive about the growth in the state government advertising. So largely, whatever shrinkage we see in the government advertising has happened on account of central government advertising, and state governments continue to show a healthy growth for us.
So one small suggestion, sir, so in from next quarter's presentation, if you can split the government spending between the central and state government, that will be really helpful.
That's a very good suggestion, sir. We will start doing it. And it is important.
Very important. And, sir, my last question is regarding the parts and spares which you supply to theaters. So, how do you source them? Do you have any distributorship? Means theaters can directly source from the manufacturers. No, my question is why they have to come to source the parts and bulbs and things like that to you?
So the way our business model is structured is we are 90% of our network is equipments which have supplied on lease rental basis to the cinemas. So the equipments continue to be owned by us, and as part of our arrangement with the cinemas, any maintenance of that, etc., is also at our end. And what we do is we have back-to-back arrangements with our suppliers to provide us with parts, and we accordingly source the parts directly from the manufacturers, stock them, and ensure that the networks are up and running across the country. So it's not a decision of the cinema that he can buy a part from any other party and do it. It has to be done by us, and we have the contracts with the manufacturers to do that also. Also, the skill set that is required to maintain these equipments is with us. So this is entirely done at our end.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have a follow-up question from Ankit Kanobia from Smart Sync Services. Please go ahead.
Thank you for allowing a follow-up. So my next question is related to Nova Cinema. I think we have mentioned about it briefly on our website, but we don't mention anything about it in our presentation. Any color on that as to how do we see that going up in the future? Or do we have anything currently happening on this front?
Yeah, so glad you asked that. Nova Cinemas, as we had mentioned, is a long-term infrastructure project. But we are glad to tell you that around 16 screens are currently, that would be around the 8 properties are currently in the pipeline for us to, for the Nova network. And we are looking at opening a couple of properties in Q1 of this year. So this project is on track, and we will soon be seeing traction on this front.
So when Rajesh mentioned Q1, it's just a couple of weeks or months from now, because one of that property is ready, just waiting for the cinema license to come, which was a little delayed because of the ongoing elections. The second property is almost 95% ready, and third property is again about 60-70% ready. And all these three properties are in in UP, close to Meerut, and this is where the first phase is getting rolled out. We are just waiting for the things to start there, and therefore we have not given any detailed information in our earning on our earnings presentation. But glad you have asked this question. We are on track. It's an infrastructure project. We want to set it up right, and then we want rest of the country entrepreneurs to pick it up as a business, so that we can have lot many centers in smaller urban areas across the country.
Yeah, thank you so much, sir. That really helped. If you can throw more light on the business model as to how much capital is required in this kind of business for us, and what kind of margins and what kind of working capital gets stuck in this. So if you can give some more clarity, that would be very helpful. Because
you mean
our other businesses... Yeah.
Are you asking about Nova Project, sir?
Yeah, Nova Project, Nova Cinema.
Yeah, yeah. So all I will say is that your company has always taken a decision of not heavily investing into either content or in the center. So therefore, even in this Nova business model, we are heavily into the whole of the infrastructure cost. There is a local business partner who invests into the whole setup. Our investment is restricted to the equipment that we understand, which is digital cinema equipment, which we provide to everyone, and some of the sound and acoustics and the screen. So it's a very limited investment. That is point number one. So that should give you comfort that not that we are going to be pouring money starting theaters. As regards the business model there, it from our side, we have frozen it and implemented in the, we'll be implementing in the phase one. But I think here you should allow us some time, because here the bigger challenge that we all have is to make sure that the centers, decent centers are put up in smaller urban areas, and these decent centers are turn out to be good enough to attract footfalls. And what happens in malls in bigger cities where the cinema becomes the anchor tenant, same way even these Nova centers should turn out to be anchor or the crowd puller in those urban centers, which in turn helps a lot of lot of commercial activities around it, and it helps the overall ecosystem, which we have seen in malls here, what a good theater can do. So we want to make that happen first. You will be less assured that, as I said, that there is no heavy capex investment, that we have taken it on our head. And same way, the business model more or less remains same in case of the exhibition these exhibition centers. Just that the operating cost will be lower here. Of course, the ticket price would also be lower. But as you get the footfalls there, these centers are designed in such a way that there are other avenues where the footfalls can be further monetized in terms of food or in terms of retail activity or some sort of services which can be offered to them, digital services. So that's a composite model. I would request that you give us some more time. Let us first get these theaters up and running at the right centers, and we are there now. Maybe 1 month, these two centers will be up. And then we can explain you in detail this model. Because as Rajesh said, this is an infrastructure project, long-term project, plus we are very hopeful that when this picks up, it's going to provide a captive audience or captive network to UFO's core business. So we are very carefully building this business.
Thank you so much, sir. That was very helpful, and all the best for the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to Mr. Tanuj for closing comments.
Thank you on behalf of Ventura Securities Limited. We would like to thank the management of UFO Movies and the participants.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes the conference call for today. Thank you for your participation. You may all disconnect your lines now. Thank you and have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.